अनन्ताय कारणत्रय हेतवे निवेदयामि चात्मानं गतिस्त्वं परमेश्वर। Our salutations to thee. Thou art all good, all joy, all love, the eternal cause of all causes, the innermost self of our being. We offer ourselves unto thee, heart and soul. Thou art our only refuge and supreme goal. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. We have been studying the Mundaka Upanishad. In this particular Upanishad, as well as in all the Upanishads, great stress has been laid upon two main things: dispassion and contemplation. Now, of course, the fundamental way for a spiritual aspirant is to first discriminate. And what is meant by discrimination? To discriminate between what is abiding, what is eternal, and what is fleeting. In this universe, all our experiences, we are experiencing pleasure and pain. We are experiencing life. And what is this life that we are experiencing? What is fleeting all the time? Always in a flux. We seek something that is abiding. And when we are seeking anything, we think that this is something that is going to be eternal, going to be abiding. When we are seeking for momentary pleasures, then also we get this idea that this is going to last forever. And as long as we are under that delusion, there comes no desire for God, for the truth. But when through experience and repeated experiences, as it were, we come to this understanding, all this is vanity. And this is the first step to spiritual life, to have that discrimination. And we have to realize that there is something abiding, something eternal. You see, it is not whether you call that God or Christ or Brahman or whatever name you may give, does not matter. But everybody has an experience in a way, has a direct experience that there is something, some reality, some substance which is eternal, which is abiding. This may sound very strange because I say this is a direct experience with every one of us. And yet we are not considering that. Where is that direct experience? For instance, it is in the center of our own consciousness. You see, you consider everything that you are, your personality, your character, your individuality, your body, your mind, your senses, everything. And as you consider them, you find that they are all changing, ever changing. But in your in the center of your consciousness, there is this awareness, I am I. In the midst of all these changes, you know that there is an unchangeable reality. Now, seek to know that. That is search for God. Now again, where is that? You see, in the Upanishads it is again and again brought out that that truth, that being, that reality is hidden within your own heart. You see, just now, as I said, in that center of consciousness, there is that awareness, I am I. Its existence is known to every one of us. You know, if anybody asks for the proof for the existence of God, self-evident. It is self-evident. Of course, you know, difficulties arise when they talk about God as somewhere, you know, some being somewhere, and they go to describe and define, then you may agree or you may disagree. And after all, that's only an idea. But here is something that you and I and everybody knows, every self-conscious human being is aware of that reality. He is. Now, of course, we do not know that Atman existence, we know. We know existence of God, but we are not aware of He being the infinite wisdom, or that He is the infinite love and infinite or abiding joy. Now then, you see, first thing is to discriminate between the eternal and non-eternal, and you have to understand that what you are seeking, joy, happiness, freedom, knowledge, all that is in the Atman, in that unchangeable eternal reality within yourself. So when you have this discrimination, then again you have to learn and struggle to free yourself from your mind and senses running after the ephemeral things of life. You have to learn to have control, self-control. And you have to learn to go within. See, it's not what is known in Western psychology as introspection. No. Or that you become an introvert. No. But to constantly try to focus your thought upon that reality, the unchangeable reality, that center of your consciousness. And that is what is pointed out in detail. For instance, we read this last time, wise, self-controlled, and tranquil souls who are contented in spirit and who practice austerity and meditation in solitude and silence are freed from all impurity and attain by the path of liberation to the immortal, the truly existing, the changeless self. Then again it says, let a man devoted to spiritual life examine carefully the ephemeral nature of such enjoyment, whether here or hereafter, as may be won by good works, and so realize that it is not by works that one gains the eternal. Let him give no thought to transient things, but absorbed in meditation, let him renounce the world. As I explained again, this renunciation does not mean you run away anywhere. But renunciation means to have that great interest in the reality, great devotion to the self, and the renunciation of the little me and mine. Renunciation of attachment to the ephemeral things of life. To know the eternal, let him humbly approach a guru devoted to Brahman and well-versed in the scriptures. Now again, you see, scriptures, books, teachings, that's not enough. You know, it is, as Ramakrishna used to say, there is a forecast written in the Indian almanac of rain, so many inches of rain a year. But you squeeze the almanac, not a drop of rain falls. So scriptures, philosophies, books, they cannot bless you or put you in the right path. You have to have a teacher. A teacher again is he who is illumined, who has that knowledge of the Atman. And from him you have to hear the truth. And what is this truth that you hear? Simple. What does the teacher teach you? He gives you this truth, that thou art. Now, you hear that truth. But, you see, there's a power when that is given. But that is not enough. You have to reason. You have to question. And then you have to meditate. You know, I've quoted to you so many times that verse from the Gita. You have to prostrate yourself before your guru. Then you have to question him. And then you have to serve him by prostrating, by questioning, and by service. Prostrating here is with humility you listen. You hear the words. And question him, in order that you can have a grasp of it. And service means to follow his teachings. And what is that? To meditate, to meditate, to meditate. To a disciple who approaches reverently, who is tranquil and self-controlled, the wise teacher gives that knowledge faithfully and without stint, by which is known the truly existing, the changeless self. You see, the aspirant, this disciple, this student also has to be ready. You see, the soil must be prepared. And so, and What is that soil that is to be prepared?
You have to have that tranquility, self-control. You have to have that longing, that desire. See, sometimes one feels that you are just burning. See, where is peace? And when that longing, that desire comes, then when you come to a teacher, you get the truth easily. Now again, in the following verses, it's very interesting. You see, it points out how this whole universe, all our experiences of this universe, how ephemeral everything is. All the pleasure, pain, birth, death, life, fleeting, and they are just for the moment. Now again he points out in the next few verses that that what we experience really as the universe is not the real universe. You see, what we see now, what we are experiencing through the doors of the senses, you are different from me, I am different from you, this wall and all these things are different, and made up of material things or matter. This is one experience that we have now. But when we see the real universe, then we see it has all come from God. And you see, what has come from God, if He is the material cause also. You see, He has transformed Himself, or this whole universe, we do not use the word creation exactly, it's an emanation from Him. You see, we see good and evil. We see pleasure and pain. Because we don't see the real universe. But when we see the reality, the truth that is within us, the true self, then our vision changes. Then the seer sees this universe in a different way. And here it is pointed out. The imperishable is the real, that eternal truth, that reality, the unchangeable reality, that is the truth. The imperishable is the truth. As sparks innumerable fly upward from a blazing fire, so from the depths of the imperishable arise all things to the depths of the imperishable, they again descend. See, the whole universe is an emanation and sparks that same reality. Arise and again go back. Self-luminous is that being and formless. He dwells within all and without all. He is unborn, pure, greater than the greatest, without breath, without mind. From Him are born breath, mind, the organs of sense, ether, air, fire, water, and the earth, and He binds all these together. Heaven is His head. See, this is an experience that comes. Heaven is His head, the sun and moon His eyes, the four quarters His ears, the revealed scriptures His voice, the air His breath, the universe His heart. From His feet came the earth. He is the innermost self of all. This is an experience, what we call the world, the cosmic soul. You see the cosmic soul. You find that described in the Gita. Arjuna had that vision of the universal form. From him arises the sun, illumines sky, from the sky the rain, from the rain food, and from food the seed in man, which he gives to woman. Thus do all creatures descend from him. From him are born hymns. You see, your vision has completely changed. You see the whole universe, but it's different. From him everything has come, emanation of that. From him are born hymns, devotional chants, scriptures, rites, sacrifices, oblations, divisions of time, the doer and the deed, and all the worlds lighted by the sun and purified by the moon. You see, all this lighted by the sun and purified by the moon refer to the two, in the Gita as the path of the gods and the path of the forefathers. You see, the planes of existence through one, if you go to the Pitriloka, that is the plane of the forefathers, then you come back. And then if you go to the Devaloka, then you have liberation, gradual liberation, and it refers to that. But they're all born of that one imperishable Brahman. From him are born gods of diverse descent, from him are born angels, men, beasts, birds, from him vitality and food to sustain it, from him austerity and meditation, faith, truth, continence and love. You see, we are all the time living, moving and having our being in God. We are breathing all the time, we are touching all the time that one reality, yet we don't know. From him spring the organs of sense, their activities and their objects, together with their awareness of these objects. All these things, parts of man's nature, spring from him. You know, that's why in the Gita you find that truth brought out. You see, Brahman is the offering, Brahman is the ritual, Brahman is the action, Brahman is the process, and he who sees Brahman in every action goes to Brahman. In him the seas and the mountains have their source, from him spring the rivers, and from him the herbs and other life-sustaining elements, by the aid of which the subtle body of man subsists in the physical body. Thus, Brahman is all in all. He is action, knowledge, goodness supreme. To know him, hidden in the lotus of the heart, is to unite, is to untie the knot of ignorance. And that is the point. This kind of vision comes only when you realize God or the Self within the lotus of your heart. Self-luminous is Brahman, ever present in the hearts of all. He is the refuge of all. He is the supreme goal. In him exists all that moves and breathes. In him exists all that is. He is both that which is gross and that which is subtle. Adorable is he. Beyond the ken of the senses is he. Supreme is he. Attain thou him. Now here is the whole crux of spiritual life. You see, he is. Is hiding within the lotus of our heart. He is everywhere. But we are not aware of it. Beyond the ken of the senses, nobody has seen God with these eyes. Nobody can hear the voice of God with these ears. See?
he is even beyond our thought's compass. The mind cannot conceive him. And so, what is this experience of God? You know, anybody can say, I experience God, I love God all the time. No. This experience is known as a transcendental experience. It's beyond the senses, beyond this mind. The mind has to be completely purified. And what is meant by the purified mind or purified heart? Where there is no more any desire for anything else. That's pure. Where there is only love for God. One-pointedness. And then there comes the experience. And that experience is a transcendental experience. You see, not with these eyes, not with these ears. Yes. When you have the divine sight. You see, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, you get spiritual eyes, you get spiritual ears, you spiritual sense organs, as it were. And through them you enjoy God. Enjoy the bliss of union with God. Supremacy, attain thou him. You see, you have to attain that. He, the self-luminous, subtler than the subtlest, in whom exist all the worlds. You see, subtler than the subtlest. You see, our gross mind cannot conceive him. In whom exist all the worlds and all those that live therein. He is the imperishable Brahman. He is the principle of life. He is speech and he is mind. He is real. He is immortal. Attain him, O my friend, the one goal to be attained. See the point? His speech, his mind, he is everything. And then it says, attain him. That is, do not confuse with what we consider as mind, what we consider as speech, as Brahman. Something more, something different. When our vision has to open up. And in order that we can do that, again, this great teacher teaches us how to meditate. Affix to the Upanishad the bow incomparable, the sharp arrow of devotional worship. Then, with mind absorbed and heart melted in love, draw the arrow and hit the mark, the imperishable Brahman. You see, it's within the heart, lotus of the heart. And with the help of the word, Om. You direct your mind and hit the mark, that Brahman, the Atman within. Om is the bow, the arrow is the individual being, and Brahman is the target. With a tranquil heart, take aim. Lose thyself in him, even as the arrow is lost in the target. You see, complete absorption. And of course, you have to practice from day to day to get that tranquility, to get that concentrated mind. And that is not the question of just meditating for 1 hour or 3 hours or 6 hours. No. Yes, you must meditate for hours regularly, but keep recollectedness. Look inside. as often as you can. And then there comes constant recollectedness. Then only your mind becomes absorbed. And the moment your mind becomes absorbed, see, when there is no other thought, and the mind is not blank or void, but filled with devotion, love for that Atman, for Brahman, for God, then through absorption, you come face to face with the reality. May I invite questions? Is it important that all food be prepared by spiritually inclined persons? Yes, it is very important. But where are you getting? Where can you get all the time, you see? That is why in the home you can get it. And one time Swami Vivekananda said that anyone eating in restaurant all the time can never have religion. You see, there is the purity, the food must be pure. Pure in the sense that it must be fresh and good, you see, and delicious to eat. That is purity. Juicy. And the one who cooks, you see, his thoughts are in the food. His character is in the food. And so, it is very important that when you cook, learn to cook your food as an offering to God, for an offering to God, and think of God. And those who eat that food also become pure. Should we accept responsibility without fear of the law of compensation? Now, of course, I really don't understand what you exactly mean, but if it is your duties as responsibilities, of course you have to follow and perform your duties. And you have to accept your responsibilities. Without performing your duties, without being obligated to accept your responsibilities, you cannot go beyond duties and responsibilities. Ultimately, the ideal is that you go beyond all responsibilities and duties. But you can reach that state only by fulfilling your duties and fulfilling your responsibilities. And there is no fear of the law of compensation in the sense that you do not create any new karma. Because if you do your duties and if you accept your responsibilities in the spirit of karma yoga as means and methods by which to unite your thoughts in God, then you do not create any new karma. You unwind, as it were, the law of compensation. Swami, why do we not know that everything is God? You see, because we are covered by ignorance. You see, we are living in the same world.
different grades of people, and so on. And we are living, each one living in our own world, according to our knowledge, understanding, growth. Now, in order that you can see everything as God, in order that you can see the reality, you have to unfold that within yourself. And when you realize God within yourself, when you are freed from that delusion, from ignorance, then only you can see God everywhere and in everything. How can we tell a teacher who is illumined from one who is not? Now that's a very difficult thing to know. You know, I've often quoted to you that saying from the Gospel according to Matthew's. I can't exactly quote, but this is the idea. John the Baptist, for instance, he used to fast and he used to be very austere, and so people thought he was crazy. And then Jesus, you know, he had good food to eat, and he drank wine, you know. When he didn't get wine, he turned the water into wine also. And so they called him wine bibber. You see, you know, we have a parable like this. There was a young monk. He was lying under a tree with some bricks as his pillow, you know, and there were some women who were going to fetch water from the river. And they noticed this young monk lying with bricks as pillows. So they began to talk amongst themselves. Look, that young man has renounced everything, but he can't give up the idea of a pillow. And so, you see, this young monk, he heard about it, and so he took away the bricks, you know. Thought, now it doesn't look well, perhaps, and what would others think? And then again, those same women were going back, and they noticed that he had no pillow, the bricks were away. So, wounded vanity. And so the young monk thought to himself, now if I do this, I'm blamed. If I do that, I'm blamed. I'm not going to please anybody. I must learn to please only God. And you see, how to know an illumined soul? You see, Christ lived amidst us. How many recognized him? God himself came and lived amongst us. But how many? You see, there is a story about Rama, who was an incarnation of God. There were great sages, and he came to them, and these great sages said, now look here, Rama, we don't care about avatar and all that business. We just meditate on the self. And Rama smiled and went away. You see. So who can really recognize? This is a beautiful truth taught by Jesus. He said that. He gave that answer. Ye have not chosen me. I have chosen you. So when the illumined teacher reveals himself to you, you know him. You feel it. You know, these disciples of Ramakrishna were all illumined souls, had attained the very highest. And I had taken friends to them. No, they couldn't see anything. See? They drank tea. Oh, that's awful. They had a room with good oriental carpet. How is that? How can he be a man of God? You see? So again, he whom he reveals himself, only he can accept. So that's the only way. You see, we all have an idea of a holy man. And with that idea we go. You see, just 12 inches and we go to... And so he doesn't come to our mark. What is the purpose in having a presiding deity for each sense organ? I don't know what is the purpose, but the scriptures say that there is the presiding deity. In other words, you see, the idea is that I lift my hand, it is not my power, but the power of God. That is the idea. You know, a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Turiyananda, said that at one time, every step that he took, when he would walk, he would feel it is the power of God. He can walk, he can move his feet because of the power of God. You see. And that is the truth. You know, we have usurped the throne of God. That's why you don't see God. I, for instance, here. What is the power? Who is it? God. But instead of giving Him or recognizing Him, I consider myself, you see, another individual man, a being separate from God, separate from everybody. And I think I can do this and I can do that. Whereas it is His power. And when we recognize that it is His power, it is He within me. I am only an instrument. He is the operator. I am the machine. See, when we come to that experience, in other words, when we move away from that throne of God, not I, but Thou, O Lord, then He becomes manifest.
Sahanabhavato, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavirjam karavavahu, tejasvinavadhitamastu, ma vidvishavahai. Om. May Brahman protect us. May He guide us. May He give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.